This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
If you enjoy deep dives into solved and unsolved murder cases, then Murder True Crime Stories is the podcast for you. Find Murder True Crime Stories on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
James Carville, hello. Thank you so much for joining me in 1010 Wins. How are you doing?
I'm good. I mean, physically, I got a good night's sleep, but, mentally, it's a... like anybody else with any sense, these are scary times.
There's a lot going on right now. So first of all, I do want to ask you about these scary times in a second. But first of all, I just have to talk about the movie here. Winning is Everything, Stupid. Let me ask you, what was your goal in making this or participating?
Well, the original goal, and I think without being obvious about it, I think we succeeded. Susan McHugh, executive producer, this was... post-pandemic, beginning of pandemic, said that she saw the war room when she was a sophomore at Rutgers and became so inspired by it that she got into politics. And at 30 years old, she was chief of staff to Senator Harry Reid, was the youngest female chief of staff, I think still is, in the history of the United States Senate. And she wanted to make a follow-up because she wanted, like a lot of people, particularly on the Democratic side, people need to know that this is not a business, it's not a half shirt, it's not just rotten people, it's other people just like you. Mm-hmm. But pretty normal, I say normal, I would hate the word normal because it means it's something else that you're not as abnormal, but with pretty pedestrian roots, I would say, all right? It is a place to succeed and make an impact and have a good time while you're doing it. I mean, I hope the film captured that we weren't all going around in half shirts, you know, like being miserable if we were working in politics. We were happy about it.
Yeah, no, I definitely think that was, conveyed in the film that, you guys are definitely, a fun bunch of guys and gals. And it's not just this boring and politics and, talking head types you see on, the networks. But, and I think a little bit of what we just spoke about before, what was interesting about this film is that it actually revealed a lot about your personal life, or really, the James we don't see, right? Lot more than I thought. We saw a lot. We learned a lot about your relationship with your mom, what made your mom tick. And obviously, we know your wife, Mary, but we learned a lot about the relationship between the two of you and what she thinks about you and, what she thinks sort of operating alongside you or sometimes in the shadow of you. Was that something that going into this that you thought would happen? Or you were like, don't worry about it.
Matt Turnhout, the director, said there's two people I have to get to do, make this movie and what I want it to be. One is President Clinton and the other one is Mary. And I said, I can get you President Clinton, but I can't. I never thought that Mary would cooperate, but Matt took her to dinner and they bonded, believe it or not, over Gore Vidal. Yeah. Who I think Matt actually worked with or maybe worked for at some earlier time in his career, and Mary had written all of his books. And he was actually the one that she's never opened up like that with me sometimes. I'll be honest with you. And I think she took what would have been, a good film and made it into a really good film.
And then why do you think she decided, or was it just natural, to be a little bit more open about everything?
A good interviewer can draw things out of people. Yeah. And I didn't realize this, but Matt told me we had 6 hours. And the cameraman didn't have a tripod. Mm-hmm. And the guy had to hold that camera and hold it steady for 6 hours.
Wow.
But he couldn't stop because, sometimes I've noticed this myself, when you're being interviewed by somebody who's really kind of probing and they get your trust and they'll ask you something that you would have never thought to answer publicly. And all of a sudden, it's like you're spilling your beans.
Yeah.
And I think that I don't think anybody could have gotten Mary to say that other than Matt.
Right. Did she, and then what did Mary think afterwards after she saw Winning Is Everything Stupid? Was she like putting her hands in her head, being like, oh my God, I can't believe I reset all this?
Well, the one thing to remember, the first time that Mary and I saw the film was at Telluride. So they already made, so we didn't have any, we both believed you have somebody creative that you trust, get out of the way and let them do their job. And she liked it. I mean, I'll be, she, and she would, she looked smart and she looks good and what else she has. And I think she understood that, yes.
And then what did you, so now looking at the politics that's sort of, illustrated in the movie and the whole political machine and how it happens, do you think that sort of process was conveyed realistically to people, let's say to the lay person who's not really into, let's say to the person who doesn't watch MSNBC, CNN, and even Fox News every night? Do you think they would walk, they do you hope or think that they walked away from it being like, oh, I get it a little bit more, what goes into this whole kind of, recipe of
Right.
politics?
Well, I do. Of course, people will come up to you that if they thought it was terrible, they wouldn't tell you that. But people do, and a lot of them have the same takeaway that you did is to be a successful in politics, you have to have it helps to have a life, okay? But different experiences that you can draw. But to me, the most important thing about the movie is the title. It's like it's winning. It's nothing, and we have this constant debate in a Democratic Party, and where political parties exist to advance ideas, or do they exist to win elections? No, they exist to win elections. I'm sorry. It sounds so
Like trite or something,
trite.
or
It sounds trite. And I see it as if you are trying to get things done, the way that you get them done is with political power. You don't get them done in a news column, even don't get them done in a TV appearance. The way that you accomplish things is through political power. It's the most fundamental kind of power you have in any society. And I see this, and I think they're kind of, I don't think they're bad people, but they say if, and it's a stupid argument. It's like some college kids, getting high, and what's more important, principle or power? Is it more important that you have principle, that you stick to it, or you have power? And it's without power, there's hardly any principle. You're just running around with your, like a chicken with your head chopped off, which we're doing right now. And they're still trying to have this argument. And the stupid words that they throw out, establishment, moderate. I'm not a moderate Democrat. I am a liberal Democrat. Get it through your goddamn head. All right? Like, I thought the campaign, I agreed with Bernie Sanders. They should have run way more on the minimum wage and taxing incomes above $400,000 a year. But NPR has decided that it is the arbiter of who's establishment or not establishment, who's liberal or not liberal, or who's moderate or not. There's not much I can do about it because the shorthand is shorthand, but it's what I would say to people, it's an idiotic way to look at the world. That's what I would say.
No, I agree. And I think, when I was at your screening last week here in New York at the Crosby Street Hotel, it's so it really hit home when you said something similar to what you just said now, that look at the title of the movie, Winning Is Everything Stupid. And you said, I'm paraphrasing a little bit, but you were kind of like, deal with the nitpicky things once you get elected, right? The
Right.
first thing is just win stupid, and
Yes.
then
Yeah.
once we win, we can deal with all those little bits that you're kind of squabbling, or the issues and stuff like that now.
Right. Yeah. Yes. But if you don't, I'm seeing even in the aftermath that we're still having this discussion, which should have been over a long time before the election. And it's it and again, sometimes you don't like arguing with who you consider to be kind of highly principled, well-motivated people, which most of these, for lack of a better word, I don't do all description, I'll call it identity politics, advocates of identity politics. And I have really not, you're nice people, you're well-meaning people, you're a really politically naive people. And you have to come to understand that if you want to advance the things that you purportedly care about. You can't do it by being naive, and we're just going to change dictionaries and the whole world's going to change with us. And how stupid can you be?
And then, what about, in talking about sort of old discussions or discussions we already could have had, there's still some kind of a narrative out there with obviously Democrats and Democrats on the so-called left who are, and I still hear this from people who are still, not over the election. Very common narrative of this is, quote, the end of democracy. I've heard from, many people that are like, oh, there's never going to be another election. Don't even look at, and it's almost like hyperbole. It sounds so crazy. And then that's what the right-wing media, so to speak, like talk calls, Trump derangement syndrome. And I'm sure you've heard that.
I have Trump derangement syrome. I'm very proud. It's a disease that I very proudly have. I don't want to get rid of it. I can't stand it. Okay? I don't think, in my own opinion, he's not loyal to the United States, to anything that it stands for, or anything that the United States is about. And the people that say this may be the end may be right, but I'm going to plan like there is another election, okay? And I'll let the chin scratchers and the pensive, smart, deep people think about this. But this is a point I really want to make about the future of the Democratic Party, particularly if there is another election. I am wildly optimistic. And you say, come on, how could you be optimistic and be a Democrat? We lost all seven swing states. We lost the Senate. We didn't get the House back. The federal judiciary is controlled by right wingers. So, what is the best way to determine the strength of a political party? I would tell you that its real strength lies in its prospective candidate and the members of the party that are likely to take a leadership, a more visible role. I have never in my life, and unfortunately I'm 80, seen political talent that exists at the level that the current Democratic Party has. And that was so much behind my drive for Biden to get out early and have an open process where people could see all of these 350 hitters we have in AAA ball. And if you want to do one little research project I would assign, you can do it on Wikipedia. Look up the 2025 New Jersey gubernatorial race and look at the Democrats who are running. They're stunningly competent people with real resumes in one state, in one party. All right? Just look it up. And then you tell me that this is a political party that doesn't have a future? No. It does, and it has one. Now we got to get these people out there, and we got, I hope that we have like a mini convention invite prospective 2028 candidates to speak in 2026, so Democrats can see what I'm talking about.
And
I
then
mean,
do you think some of the voices that were on, the so-called squad and those voices, do you think that had anything to do with turning some people off towards Democrats or no?
well, of course, this is the identity apologists say after the election, well, it really didn't matter because Democrats didn't run on this. Well, you know what? We didn't run on it, but they did. Okay? See, in politics, both sides play. If you're a comedian and you tell a bad joke, you just throw it away. Who gives a shit? No one. But you come up, and there was a study done by an analytical firm. I think they kind of lean Democratic, but Blueprint. And of the late-breaking voters, 78% thought we wanted to defund the police. All right, I know we didn't, but we did say that. And that became the mantra, okay? We did try to use the word Latinx. We just did, although no one else used it with us. All right? So, and They say, well, we didn't run. No, you didn't run on it because you saw how damaging that was to the entire brand. And it's still damaging. And I said, it'll take one more cycle to wash this stench out of our clothes. But it's a stench that stuck with us. And it's ridiculous to say that it didn't hurt the party brand. It did. It's evidenced by the fact that none of you talk like that anymore.
Yeah, I know. And then let me see, what do you think Biden's legacy will be? And slight point, do you think his legacy has changed in the last couple months by pulling out of the or getting out of the race and or Hunter's pardon? And actually, the day that I saw the screening, that was the day of the pardon. So I know you did addressed it. So the focus is really more on Biden's legacy.
Okay. So Joe Biden has had maybe as distinguished a career in politics as anybody in my lifetime. I mean, let's review it. He was elected to the United States Senate when he was 30 years old.
Yeah.
He was chairman of the judiciary. I think at one time he was chairman of foreign affairs, but I think he was vice president of the United States. All right. He had a real life. He lost family members, wives, children, anything you can imagine. He is an honest man. He is literally one of the most tolerant, people I know, and he had a great legacy. Unfortunately, very unfortunately, he's the most tragic figure in politics in my lifetime because he will be forever, not forever, but for a long time, he will viewed as the guy who was so selfish he wouldn't give up power and cost not only his political party the presidency, but a person on the level of Donald Trump to be president. And I don't think he's going to escape that for a long time to come. I really don't. And I think the party engaged in extreme cowardice that they let this go on. If he would have gotten out in the summer of 2023, we'd have gotten 54% of the vote. We'd had so much talent. And I don't have, in defense of the vice presidents, her campaign is not doing themselves any good on this post election tour, but they didn't have a lot of choices. I mean, they got you taking the keys. This is the car. You keep the entire campaign staff. You keep the entire headquarters. You keep the furniture. You keep everything. And there weren't even Harris people. There were Biden people. And of course, when they said, "What would you do different, Biden?" they said, "Well, nothing," which was the fundamental question of the election. You did run a false campaign, except for that one answer, and your entire strategy that you were going to promote the status quo in a country where two-thirds want to change. I mean, it's basic political consulting, I don't know, 101 of basic, policy campaigns and elections introductory course. If the people want change, give them change. That it can't be any simpler than that. And a different Democrat would have not been the default status quo candidate if it would have been any one of five or six other people, and she would not have won a contested Democratic primary. She would not have won a contested election where they all come forth and speak. But in her defense, she had a very narrow operating range because she started on July the 21st.
It was very close. Let me ask, just we're running down, I want to pivot to something. Now, in New York locally, we have, are you that familiar with Mayor Eric Adams?
I am familiar with it,
Okay,
yes.
just checking. So what, so there's all, I mean, he's been all over the place. Here we had this, the obviously the scandal with him. He was, he had charges with Turkish officials, and then Trump was kind of extending, warm overtures, I guess, kind of strange bedfellows, saying, I know what you're going through. There was something going on there a little bit. Do you think Eric Adams could have a place in the national spotlight?
Well, I saw he's considering switching to Republican. Please do. You'll fit right in. You'll be much, much more comfortable over that in your orders. That's a great idea. I really think that you should.
Why
And
do you say that? Yeah, go on.
well, if an indictment is just an indictment, but I mean, clubbing every night. I don't know. The guy, he said he's thinking about being a Republican. He's playing for a pardon. I just don't think I think he fits in better over there. He should do that. He'd be more comfortable there. I really believe that. And we would be more comfortable having you there.
Yeah. I mean, it's surprising because he was always this law and order guy. I mean, he is, he formerly worked for the New York
He
Police
was a
Department.
policeman. He might have genuinely been law and order, but at least from what we know now, maybe the law and order didn't apply to him.
Exactly.
It may not. Again, be very careful to say, like any other citizen,
Yeah.
but in some of the people that my mother used to say, I never worried much about James because he always had nice friends.
Yeah.
All right, or there's this expression, tell me who you go with, and I'll tell you who you are.
Yeah.
Think it's operative.
I think I know. I've heard a version, I think, of a saying like that's like, I wouldn't want to be a member of any club that accepts me as a member.
Yeah,
So.
that's that's me. About Groucho Marx, I think, was the first one to say
Is he the one who said that? I knew I
the
heard
first one to say a lot of different things.
that. To say things like that. Okay, so yeah, we'll see. Yeah, it's just interesting because he's really landed a little bit on the national spotlight. So it's interesting to see what's going to happen with him here. But that's good. All right, and finally, as we wrap up, any exciting Christmas and or New Year's plans or New Year's resolution?
Yeah, I'm going to London this afternoon tonight. I'm in
Nice.
Los Angeles, and I can't wait to see all the holiday lights and everything. And about my dear friend Ruthie Rogers, I'm going to go to River Cafe and see Ruthie and do a podcast.
All right, nice. Good stuff.
Thanks.
Any New Year's resolutions, or you have a collective New Year's resolution for the country?
Try to keep punching, keep slugging, keep moving away, and I want to bring this gospel of all of the talent that we have to the Democratic Party. I want to get it on the playing field. I think this New Jersey gubernatorial primary, if you spend some time and you can just look at that. I did before I came on here. I just did the Wikipedia entry.
Yes. Are
And
there any candidates? Because we are covering it. I know, we have
I don't want there's so many that are so good,
there's Josh
like
Gottheimer.
Mickey Sherrill, the
Yes.
mayor of Jersey City, the mayor of Newark, the president of the New Jersey Senate.
Yeah.
And I mean, and all I mean, have strike me is all being really competent, qualified people. I'm not, last thing I'm gonna do is get involved in the middle of a New Jersey gubernatorial Democratic primary. But what I will say is, there's an embarrassment of riches,
Yeah.
just like in the current Democratic Party. Our field in 2028 is just gonna blow people away.
Yeah, no, it's
And I
exciting.
wanna get them on the field. So
No.
I'm contrarian. I'm actually, if we can get to 2028, now
Yeah.
that is not my end of the business,
Yeah.
okay? But if we get there, we're going to kick ass. I'm telling you right now.
All
And
right.
by the way, like Ruben Gallego, look, that guy might be easily could see Ruben as the first Latino, Hispanic, or whatever the
Yeah.
president we have. I mean, but there are a lot of other people. I mean, there's talent everywhere, man.
Yeah, no, I agree. And I think New Jersey, which we cover New Jersey obviously a lot here since we're, the New York radio station, there's just been lots of incredible talent. All right. So the next time around, New
Thank
Jersey.
you.
So as a Democrat, we're psyched for New Jersey, the Democrats for New York.
Right,
As a
right.
Democrat, you can have the Republicans
Hey,
from
we
Virginia
got
down.
Abigail Spanberg in Virginia, so I hope she does well.
They're
Okay,
going to
y'all
school.
want me to leave it up and make sure you got my file?
Yes. All right. Yeah,
Okay.
that'd be great. All right. So,
Thank you.
James, thank you so much. I really appreciate you taking the time to speak
All
with me.
right, David, good luck to
All
you.
right.
You do
See you
good work.
later. Take care.